Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How often do you find yourself in the middle of a busy week, flooded with work and other commitments, exhausted, perhaps even a little frustrated, and ask yourself, what's the point? I've been feeling this way all the more often in recent weeks and months. What's the point of all the work I'm doing? Of my exercise routine, or lack thereof? Of my busy, overcommitted schedule? Perhaps we're asking, what's the point of more presidential debates? In times where it seems like things are falling apart around us, and to be clear, this is pretty much all the time, even before the global pandemic set in, or perhaps even when things are going well, this question constantly looms over our lives. It seems that much of the crisis of meaning in our culture comes from an inability to answer this question with any degree of confidence. It's an uncomfortable question in some ways, and one that often exposes the lack of purpose in our own lives. Too often we find that we are working toward goals that are themselves indefinable or fleeting. We spend much of our lives trying to find a comfortable spot or trying to reach some level of contentment. Sure that if we just get to the next promotion or the next pay raise, the bigger house, or we find the right person, we'll be satisfied. Even much of our current cultural preoccupation with justice, an honorable goal, raises this question. When we get to that dreamed of society which is no longer plagued by injustice, then what? Or perhaps a question closer to home. Why in the world are we still meeting together every week on Zoom? Didn't anyone read the articles about Zoom fatigue back in March when this whole business started? Is our goal just to have some nice social time? Are we all gathered here just so we don't feel so lonely? Then what? What happens once the pandemic ends? What's the point of all that we're doing? This question of ultimate ends, of our goal, of the point of it all, is precisely the question that Paul is addressing in his letter to the church at Philippi, and to us this morning. Paul had dedicated his entire life to the observance of the Torah, or the Jewish law. He runs through a list of accomplishments and credentials in the text today from Philippians 3. Paul was circumcised on the eighth day according to custom, proving his status as an Israelite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, the same tribe as Saul, the first king of Israel, a tribe called by Moses, beloved of the Lord. These things prove that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. If anyone had the right credentials as a part of God's covenant people, it was Paul. Beyond these ethnic markers, Paul's own CV was quite impressive. Paul was not just any Jew, he was a Pharisee. And as one extremely well-versed in the Torah, he knew how to interpret the law correctly. Further, Paul was not even your average Pharisee. He took his observance and commitment to Torah so seriously that he was willing to persecute Christians, those who worshipped a false, cursed Messiah who was put to death on a cross. Paul summarizes all of this resume in verse 7. He was blameless with regard to righteousness under the law. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul had never sinned, but what Paul is saying here is that as far as adherence to the ritual laws of Torah such as clean eating, Sabbath observance, and ritual cleanliness, his status was unimpeachable. No one could find fault with Paul as a practicing Jew. In the face of some early Christians in Philippi who were suggesting that Gentiles must adhere to Jewish ritual laws in order to be saved, Paul is saying, "Hey, look at me. I was a better Jew than any of these people." Or to use Paul's own words in verse 4, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more." So what does Paul have to say for this impressive resume then? What has it ultimately gotten him? In Paul's own words, he says it this way: "Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." There's not much more to say here, friends. All the work, the resume building, the credentials, the social and religious clout that Paul had accumulated for himself through his hard work and diligence, he counts all of it as loss. Here our English Bibles fail to convey just how strong Paul's language is. Whether what is rendered in our Bibles as a rather polite rubbish is more accurately something much harsher and more vulgar, something akin to street trash, filth that's fit only for dogs. These things that are considered by many, and especially the Jewish Christians enforcing Gentile circumcision, to be advantages, Paul sees as total loss, even disadvantages. So what has caused this radical reevaluation for Paul? It's because he has come to know Christ, and in knowing Christ, everything else has become street trash by comparison. This is not to denigrate Judaism, of course. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Paul's incredibly high view of Jewish traditions and of Torah observance is what makes the contrast so shocking. All of the things that Paul thought were of ultimate value have been revealed as meaningless by comparison with the immeasurable value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. For St. Paul, the single-minded focus of the Christian life is this: to know Christ. And for Paul, and indeed for us as well, this can never be just a simple head knowledge. To know Christ is not merely to know facts about him, or to be able to rattle off confessions or creeds. Knowing Jesus is being found in him. It is knowledge that comes from participation, finding ourselves bound together with him in our suffering, and through suffering, sharing in the power of his resurrection. Put another way, knowing Christ is loving Christ. Taking our cue from St. Paul, then, the answer to our opening question this morning could be something like this: knowing God in Christ is the point of the Christian life. It is the point of all life. It's why the universe exists. Full stop. Everything else takes its meaning from this statement. This means that the Christian faith is not a hobby. It's not a means of social control. It's not a way of boosting our status. It's not a clever way of encouraging us to treat other people with kindness. It's not platitudes about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It's not a social club. As St. Paul makes clear, the singular focus of the entirety of the Christian life is to know Christ and to be found in him on the last day. Wherever Christian faith loses this focus, it simply ceases to be Christian in any meaningful sense. Christianity cannot become about anything other than Christ and remain Christian. The laser-like focus on this goal of knowing God is the ground for everything else we do as Christians. It is the content and motivation of our prayers. It's why we love our neighbors and our enemies. It's why we work for justice in the world. It's why we are generous with our time and our money. It's why we meet together on Zoom every week. It's why we suffer, and it's why we refuse to despair in the face of our suffering. It is the source of our hope and the goal of our existence. The very shape of the Christian life is found in this participatory knowledge of God. It is, as St. Paul makes clear, a cross-shaped knowledge. It is through sharing in Christ's sufferings, conforming to his death, that we come to know and share in Christ's resurrection. And we should finally note, this goal contains within itself the motivation for our lives. As Paul notes, we have already been found in Christ. Christ Jesus has made us his own. But our knowledge of God in Christ has not yet been made complete. We have not yet obtained the resurrection from the dead. We have not yet come to the full knowledge of God in Christ. This already not yet tension defines the Christian life. We come to know God in Christ through participating in Christ's suffering now, that we might come to know him in his resurrection in the world to come. All of this is knowing Christ, and it is toward this singular focus that we strain and press. This, Christ Jesus, is the goal and the prize. It is the future that gives meaning to the present. In the midst of the constant concerns of this life, it is easy to forget about all of this. We are beset by anxieties, financial insecurities, sickness, death, injustice. Our future hope so often becomes clouded by the demands of the present. In the midst of all of this, an exhortation to know God in Christ can seem like a kind of call to inaction at best, or blind ivory tower reflection at worst, especially coming from a seminarian. But as Paul shows us, it is the fixation upon this goal that allows us to see life as meaningful at all. And life finds its true meaning only in light of Christ crucified and resurrected on the third day. This is our hope in a life so often filled with suffering, that as we come to know Christ in suffering, we will know him all the more fully in the resurrection of our bodies in the life to come. In the words of St. Augustine, to close, then we shall be still and see that he is God. Then we shall see that he is what we ourselves wanted to be when we fell away from him. For what have we done without him, except waste away in his wrath? But when we are made new by him and are perfected by his greater grace, we shall be still for all eternity and shall see that he is God, and by him we shall be filled when he is all in all. Amen.